This is the Sean Hannity Show podcast.
All right, thanks, Scott Shannon. Welcome aboard. Thanks for being with us. 105 days to go. The best election coverage available on your radio dial. 800-941-SEAN is our number. You want to be a part of the program on Twitter. It's at Sean Hannity, Hannity.com for our electoral map. And within literally just hours, instead of focusing on the death, the destruction, the pain of families, there are people that were racing and rushing out there to politicize the massacre that happened in Colorado. And I frankly don't understand the thought process of those that would try to exploit a tragedy for their own political benefit. But it happened within hours and it's been continuing and it was on the air all weekend long. Anyway, so there are certain issues that have come up among the left, and one happens to be the issue of gun control. And here to go through all of this and debate all of this, we have, well, probably Sean Hannity's favorite conservative friend, or Lanny Davis's favorite conservative friend, Sean Hannity. And Lanny Davis is, of course, known for the better effort at defending Bill Clinton from the indefensible before he was impeached, Lanny. And also joining us, Lanny, John Lott, who wrote the book More Guns, Less Crime. Welcome, both of you.
Great to talk to you.
I asked you to identify me as your favorite conservative.
Yeah, but you're not a conservative. You know, you write this stupid column called Purple Nation, and all you do is you act as though you're, you know, in the middle, and you never call out Obama for the outrageous things he says, but you only do it with conservatives. Oh, both sides are as bad. Give me the moral equivalent of the Republicans want dirty air and water, and they want kids with autism, Down syndrome, and the elderly fending for themselves, Lanny. Can you come up with a moral equivalent of that by a conservative?
I think I would disagree with anyone who says what you just said.
That was President Obama who said those things.
You show me that quote. I don't think he said
it. You want me to play? You know what? I'll be glad to play it for you. Do you want to bet before I play it?
I think you and I have a bet on the outcome of the election, and I'm already out of funds if I lose that bet.
Well, all right. Well, let me just to prove that I'm right, let's hit it.
And then you got their plan, is... Let's have dirtier air,
dirtier water.
Less people with health insurance.
Then you got kids with autism and Down syndrome, Lanny.
Well,
I don't know. I'm going to play it for you.
What's the definition of the word there?
All right, listen.
Some are middle-class families who have children with autism or Down syndrome. Some of these kids with disabilities are so severe that they require 24-hour care. Yeah. These are the Americans we'd be telling
fend for themselves. Fend for yourself. So is that a distortion of conservatives that want to save Medicare from bankruptcy? Is that a distortion, Lanny, or is that a lie?
I would say it's hyperbole. Which an exaggeration.
Exaggeration.
Be more precise, that some more precise. Republicans support policies that might have that effect.
That
would be accurate.
Yeah, okay. You see, John, he'll never call out Democrats the way he would a Republican.
No, I would certainly say if a Republican generalized about...
Do you think I want dirty air or dirty water,
no,
Lanny?
No, of course not.
You know, maybe for you only.
The methods of getting to the same objective.
I might just support dirty air and water for you. That's it. All right, but I'm kidding. All right. Well, John, let's go to the issue. You wrote this book, More Guns, Less Crime. And when you wrote it years ago, and you've updated it now three times, liberals get outraged at the idea that an armed populace, you know, as George Washington once said, the very atmosphere of guns everywhere prevents evil interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that's good. Liberals, literally, it's like Alka-Seltzer and water at the thought that people would have a gun and defend themselves.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty simple point. Police, my research finds, are the most important factor for reducing crime, but the police themselves understand that they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's been committed. And the question is, what do you recommend that people do when they're having to confront a criminal by themselves? And simply telling them to behave passively is not very good advice. I mean, here we have situations, just yet again in this case on Friday, where we banned guns from areas. In this case, the theater had signs up there saying that concealed handgun permit holders were not allowed to take their guns into the theater. And I understand the desire to go and try to create these gun-free zones. But the problem is, and this is true with gun control laws generally, you have to ask yourself who obeys these laws. And, you know, and I think rather than creating safe areas for victims, we're unintentionally creating safe areas for the criminals who are trying to do this harm. But just a simple thing to think about. Let's say, God forbid, a violent criminal was stalking you or your family. Would you feel safer putting a sign out in front of your home that said this home is a gun-free zone? Would that make it less likely that the criminal would go and attack?
Well, this is an interesting question. Let me bring Lanny into the debate.
Thank you.
Lanny, but let's say, God forbid, one night you have a wife, you have kids. God forbid somebody broke into your home. Would you rather have a gun or not have a gun?
Well, honestly, I'd rather not have a gun because I'd be afraid of one of my kids picking it up and doing damage to themselves. So I'd rather have a security system and a police force. That.
Forget about the security system. They're in your home. They break the window. They jump in your home. They're down in your kitchen, and they hear you, and they say, I'm coming to get you. What are you going to do? What do you do?
I'd love to have a gun to shoot the guy if he threatened my family, but I would have a great pause of having a loaded firearm in my house.
But Lanny, let me ask you, would you want a sign in front of your home that says this home is a gun-free zone? But that's what we do.
But whether we have a sign or not, I do agree with the point that gun control isn't going to prevent these crazy people from killing us, and that's not the reason why people are in favor of gun control. But I do have a question to ask you. Are you opposed to doing what the National Counterterrorism Center does, which is to track aberrant patterns to find out where a terrorist is before the terrorist does the evil? And in this case, you had a number of aberrant patterns of purchasing assault weapons, of incredibly large numbers of ammunition, and other patterns that if we were able to follow and track these types of guns and ammunition through a registration and tracking system, we might have been able to catch this guy before he went into the movie. Would you support that?
Well, I don't think registration or licensing stops crime in any way.
I didn't say stops crime. I said an aberrant pattern that might have stopped 9/11. If you ask anti-terrorist experts, they will say that having the data to be able to track patterns of purchasing, if it's...
All right, we got your point. Let him answer.
Would you be willing to at least support that?
Well, I have no problem trying to figure out trends, and people are trying to identify people with different types of problems that they have. I guess the question is what one does with that information. But, look, we're all concerned about trying to stop these things. My concern, and I would disagree with what you said a minute ago, it's worse than not just helping. These types of gun-free zones are a magnet for these types of attacks. I'll give you one simple number. If you look at all the multiple-victim public shootings in the United States since after World War II, with only one exception, everyone where more than three people have been killed has occurred in a place where guns are banned. Every single one, with just one exception.
You know, that's the kind of statistic, with all due respect. Did you know that ice cream causes people to drown?
No, but it's the same point of putting this line.
All right, that's just being silly. Let's stay serious here for a minute, because this is an important question. If, God forbid, and our thoughts and prayers are with these families, I mean, the town out in Colorado, Aurora, is suffering, and innocent people lost their lives. And I don't even really want to use this as an example, but it's what everybody's talking about. Would it be better, let's say there was a military officer that was armed or a policeman that was armed, and God forbid if you were in there and... Would you rather have an armed officer in there, somebody with a weapon, or not?
Of course. In this situation,
you would.
If we could have predicted, I would much rather.
And you can't. So the point is, John's book is called More Guns, Less Crime, and you're offended by that title.
Well, let me ask you, again, a reasonable question. Why is it every major police chief, including the captain in Aurora, is in favor of strict registration and tracking of the purchase of non-recreational
But the governor himself
firearm.
Said gun
assault
control
weapons.
Wouldn't have helped in this case,
Let
and he's a Democrat.
Let me ask the question, Sean. Assault weapons are not for the purposes of recreational shooting. They're not for hunting. They're for killing. So the captain and the Police Chiefs Association of America, you cite the police. Why don't you use the police to say we should ban assault weapons or at least track them when they're being purchased?
Lanny,
yes.
You know as well as I do that these assault weapons are misnamed. They're not the types of weapons that are used in the military. The only thing that distinguishes them from regular hunting rifles is just the way they look on the outside, the cosmetic features on the outside. The guts of these guns, such as the assault weapon so-called that the killer used in this attack, is essentially a .22 caliber rifle that's shaped like an M16. But it's not. No self-respecting military in the world would go and use that weapon.
So you don't want to track somebody that buys
Lanny, let
one
him
of
answer
those
the
kinds
question,
of weapons
Lanny.
With multiple bullets and in the way that this occurred in a black jacket? You wouldn't want to track that kind of data?
No, because about 86% of the guns in the United States are semi-automatics. If you want to ban all semi-automatics, fine. But to go and classify guns on the basis of what they look like on the outside as compared to what they do makes no sense. There's no study published by a criminologist or an economist in an academic journal that's shown that the assault weapons ban, either when it got passed or when it sunset, had any impact on violent crime rates in any way.
All right, let me ask Lanny, you're just repeating yourself. Let me ask you a question. This is an important question. Have you ever shot a gun?
Yes, in a shooting range, I have. But
okay, what kind of guns have you shot?
I've done rifle shooting, and I've done pistol shooting at a ranch that I go to every year in Wyoming where there's red sky, red grass, red everything.
All right, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a pistol marksman, and I've been shooting since I'm 11 years old.
I have done this. The only time I've ever done it, John, is at this ranch we go to every August, which I'll be at in 2 weeks.
So, and I think John's on to a point here that a lot of people don't understand about weapons, and I'm more of a pistol shooter than I am a rifle shooter. If, for example, I have a Glock 40, how fast do you think I could run off 11 rounds with a Glock 40?
I'm not an expert or even close to being knowledgeable, so I'll guess that you could do it in a few seconds.
I know, because I think what John's trying to make a point here is that there has been almost this reaction, semi-automatic. As if, I have a revolver, too, and, I mean, I could fire off six shots in seconds. I mean, the point is that somebody that has evil intentions, look at the meticulous, premeditated nature of this guy's crime.
Agree.
Look, he was using gasoline to blow up his apartment, or attempting to, and setting booby traps for the police. I mean, we can't ban all gasoline. We can't ban all fertilizer. In other words, I think evil, and this is what this was committed here, comes from one's heart. And the only people that are going to obey laws are law-abiding citizens. And the criminals, by their very nature, will never obey any laws.
You know, I agree with that, John. At least we can find something to agree on here, that people who argue for gun control go way too far, just as people who are against it go way too far. Because I was trying to give John an easy yes, since police chiefs and people in law enforcement all over agree.
Oh, you were setting him up.
Of tracking data. And at least not taking people's arms away under the Second Amendment, but at least requiring background checks and tracking data when there are aberrant patterns of purchasing. I can't imagine why you'd be against that, John, other than fearing for civil liberties and privacy rights. And I would agree with you. We have to be careful about that. Because remember, the Patriot Act was passed. A lot of liberals opposed George Bush's Patriot Act aimed at setting up the National Counterterrorism Center for the same exact reason.
You're not going to stop these things. Look, I wish background checks were a magic bullet for these things. Again, I don't know of any study by a criminologist or an economist in a referee journal that's found that the Brady Act or any other type of state waiting periods have had any beneficial impact on crime. Criminals find their ways around. Let me give you an example.
When you say any beneficial impact, I don't think you mean that. Was it a cure-all?
Crime,
I agree with you.
No impact in the right direction that's significant in crime rate.
No police officer, and I think you will agree, would agree with you that having the data to track.
Let me give Lanny a concession here. Are you listening, Lanny?
Yes.
As somebody who has been trained in the use of firearms since I'm 11, my parents wouldn't let me go near a firearm till I had proper training and safety courses.
Great.
You know, first thing you learn, that gun never goes anywhere but downrange, period. End of sentence. No circumstances. All right. Just something simple like that. You know, I would say that, you know, for example, anyone that goes to buy a gun, even if they have to take the safety course that day, you have to have a basic fundamental knowledge of gun safety.
So why don't you agree that that should be done at gun shows where there are assault weapons that are directly from the military?
Listen, I'm saying,
using the term assault weapon.
I'm not an expert to define it, but I know it when I see it.
When you see it, it doesn't.
Why do you care what the gun looks like? Why don't you care about how it looks?
Lanny, that's very deceptive.
At gun shows, there is military weapons that come directly from excess military that come into gun shows. That why wouldn't you favor just what Sean said? Why wouldn't you favor
No, but I think they should be able. I think
and
I'm not talking about a waiting period. I'm talking about anybody that at any sales point It needs to be a fundamental safety. You need to ask somebody, do you know how to handle that weapon? And then, and what you have.
Why you guys would,
excuse me.
Well,
let me finish. But you should still be able to buy the gun and walk out with it. But if you have to learn, if the person cannot show that they know how to cock it and load it, then they've got to learn before they can leave with it.
What's your objection to registering for certain types of firearms that are primarily used for killing and not for sport?
What gun cannot be used for killing?
Okay,
Lanny, that's stupid.
Lanny. Let me give you an example. Hawaii has had...
You're not answering my question, though.
I'm giving you the answer.
Okay.
Hawaii's had licensing and registration for about 50 years. It cost... a decade ago, it was estimated it cost about 50,000 hours worth of police time each year to run the system. They have not solved one crime as a result of that system over the whole 50 years.
So apart from
and
the,
here's the problem. Here's the reason why it doesn't work. Because those 50,000 hours of police time... could have been used in ways we know work for police. Instead, we're diverting it to things that may make you feel good. Look, in theory, registration can help you solve crimes because if a criminal shoots a gun, leaves the gun at the crime scene, the gun's registered to the criminal, then in theory you can track it back to the criminal. The problem is guns are rarely, if ever, left at the crime scene.
When all right, guys, I don't mean...
It's because the killer's been either, or the killer's been either killed himself or seriously wounded, and the guns are never registered to the person to begin with.
All right, now we gave Lanny the first word. John, we're going to give you the last word. Lanny, we'll see you tonight. You're debating my buddy David Limbaugh, so we'll see you tonight on Hannity. Thanks all of you for being with us. Quick break, right back. We'll continue.
John Hannity.
Hannity Headlines.
A bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you
anywhere you go.
To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
All right, when we come back, your calls are straight ahead.
We know you never want to miss the Sean Hannity Show.
And now you never have to.
Just sign up for Hannity Headlines. A bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you on your laptop, your mobile phone, everywhere you go. Even to your liberal in-laws' place in Vermont.
So, yeah.
And after a few hours of that, you'll be glad you brought Sean along. To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
All right, just 105 days to go. The best election coverage right here on the Sean Hannity Show. Toll free, it's 800-941. Sean, you want to be a part of the program? Don't forget on Hannity.com, our election map. You click on your state, your district, find out who's running for the Senate, for the House, where they stand on the issues, and maybe even want to get involved. It's all up to you, but all the information is there at Hannity.com. And don't forget, the discussion never stops 24-7, 365 on Twitter at Sean Hannity. All right, let's get to our busy phones. Ian is in Modesto in California next on the Sean Hannity Show. What's up, Ian? How are you? Welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks a lot, Sean. Thanks a lot for letting me be on and give you my opinion on things, which is basically I've been in this country for 2 years, been listening to you for a couple of years now on and off. And what gets me about you, what annoys me, is the fact that you present yourself as some sort of alternative to Obama and promote the fact that we need to get rid of Obama to save America. And the alternative that you put forward is somebody like Mitt Romney. Now, I just can't help believe that somebody, obviously, of your intelligence and that the fact that you know what's going on, really believes that Mitt Romney is going to be any different. Well, he's going to be a little bit different, maybe 5% or 10% different, but is he going to get to the core issues of what is destroying this country? And the answer is no.
Where's your accent from?
I'm from England.
England. All right, let's use England as an example. And you say only minor differences between the two. You know about Great Britain and the National Health Services, right?
That's right, yeah.
And you know about their governing rationing body, right, the government rationing body they have.
Yes.
And you know that they use as a method of deciding whether or not somebody gets health care what their life expectancy is. For example, an older person that maybe needs a hip or a knee replacement, that's 82, and they were supposed to only live to 80. That's factored in. They may not get that hip replacement because of their age, right?
No, I understand all that, Sean.
All right, So you said there's minor differences. That is a major difference. The cost, the cost that Obama predicted for health care was under $1 trillion, $900 billion. Then it went to $1.8 trillion. Now it's $2.6 trillion. It hasn't even been implemented yet. And if you think that's a small difference, then, you know, just look at how inferior care has become and how people have struggled in Great Britain and how government decides and rations, which is going to happen here. I'll give you another difference.
Well, hold on a minute. I mean, that is, I agree with what you're saying about that, but that is not the major issue. That is what's going on.
Excuse me, that's a major issue with the debt. No. We've got $5 trillion in new debt under Obama. Oh, this is what this is what Obama said about George Bush, who in 8 years accumulated $4 trillion in debt.
The way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China, in the name of our children, driving up our national debt so that we now have over $9 trillion of debt that we are going to have to pay back. That's irresponsible.
It's irresponsible.
It's unpatriotic.
Unpatriotic. Well, we now have $16 trillion in debt. No president.
Yeah, that's right, Sean, but that is still not the major issue.
Excuse me.
The major issue isn't how much money we borrow. It's who we're borrowing it off.
Excuse me. You're wrong. Because at some
point. No, I'm not wrong.
Let me tell you why you're wrong. Because
tell you why I'm right. Because, listen, the whole point.
You don't want to hear why you're wrong. Then you don't understand simple basic economics because
let me just give you my point and then I'll let you come back, okay, if you don't mind. And
okay, you take over the show. Yeah, you take over. Go ahead.
No. Okay. The whole point of the United States, like the 4th of July, Independence Day, what did the United States try to get independent from? Was from the people supplying the money to this country, as in the central bankers. Now, we are still in the same state as we were. After 100 years, that's what's happening. Nobody is actually looking at where the money is coming from and who's supplying it and the fact that there's debt allocated to it when the government could actually be taking over that that role. That is the major issue. Now, I agree that the other issues do exist and they are important, but they are not nearly as important as that issue. It's a bit like having a house with no roof on it and Obama wanting a...
Let me quote one of your greatest leaders in your... great historic background is Margaret Thatcher. The problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money to spend.
But who mentioned socialism? I'm not a socialist.
Listen to what I'm saying. Now it's time for you to listen, and I'm going to try and educate you. If Obama was right that it's irresponsible to have $4 trillion in debt in 8 years, then it's certainly logical that $5 trillion in less than 4 years is not sustainable. The problem with what the president's ideology is, and this is these are not small distinctions. This is not, Romney will cut an extra $500 million. We're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars in terms of economic plans and differences. Republicans want to make sure that Medicare, Social Security are saved. That means that you're going to have to take on the third rail of politics, means test, raise the age eligibility. You're going to have to eliminate Obama. Can I finish a thought? I'm trying to educate you. You're saying there's no difference, and I'm telling you there are major differences, starting with the Supreme Court, starting with health care, starting with taxes, starting with entitlements, all differences from where Obama would take us. And then we haven't even discussed foreign policy, bowing before, leaders supporting the Muslim Brotherhood with $1.5 billion of taxpayer money and so on and so forth. I cannot emphasize enough. This is as dramatic a choice election as you will see in American history. I may not be able to convince you, but I won't. Well, go ahead. I'll give you the last word.
Okay. The dramatic choice would be to decide who is going to be in charge of the money supply in this country, whether it's going to be printed by the government under some sort of ordered and sort of a well-thought-out plan, or is it going to be borrowed from private bankers who are actually basically running the country? This is not a socialist issue. This is not a capitalist issue.
If you want to complain about the Fed, I'm actually on the same page. I have major problems with the way it's run. I mean, for Chuck Schumer to go out there and tell Ben Bernanke that he's got to prop up the economy to help Obama get reelected is nauseating that they would have that kind of power and influence and be subject to political pressures of the day. That's certainly not good. All right, let's go to our busy telephones. Walter is in Jacksonville on WOKV on the Sean Hannity Show. What's up, Walter? How are you?
Hey, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm good, sir. How are you today?
Hey, I just wanted to address two quick issues. First, I'm prior military. So for those people who think that having a gun in that theater would have helped, they've never been in a closed environment without a gas mask.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. God forbid, and God bless all these families, if you were in that theater, and would you rather have had an armed policeman in the theater or not?
It depends on where he was sitting.
Forget about where he's sitting. Would you increase the odds that you might be able to stop him if you had somebody trained in the use of a firearm or not?
See, you're asking someone who served as a cop.
I appreciate that. Let's say an armed military person or an armed policeman, if he was sitting in that theater, if you were there, would you rather have them there and at least have a chance or not? Because I would rather have them there.
I don't know, because I don't know that person's training would be. You can't ask a broad question like that.
Yes, I can. I'm asking you if you'd like to have either a trained military official or a trained. Well, then you can't answer because it doesn't work to your narrative, which is that you want to say that a gun in the hands of somebody who's trained could be something that is used in an incident, maybe not this specific one, but one like it, where they can save lives. And that's the reality that those that support gun control don't want to answer, which I don't blame you. All right, back to our phones. Dr. Chad is in Tennessee, next on the Sean Hannity Show. Hey, Dr. Chad, how are you?
Mr. Hannity, pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm a physician. In fact, I mean, I've got a trauma surgery background as well. But, you know, what I find interesting is that apparently this gunman was an MD, PhD. Now, I don't think that the public really understands what that means. While medical students are already a smart group, I mean, that means he was in the top 1 to 2% of even those. So, in fact, I believe that this gentleman even had a National Institute of Health scholarship.
He did.
So, in essence, what I'm trying to say is that this is a smart guy. You know, he could have used any number of methods to murder, you know, those people. I mean, the guy could have, you know, essentially taken a piece of gum and the tinfoil it came in and made a bomb out of it. What I'm trying to get to here, obviously, is that you can't. If you look what he did and what he had in his apartment, you know, this guy could have used anything in some kind of weird way, which is somewhat terrible to say. Thank God his fantasy was only to shoot one theater. If he wanted to, he could have created a bomb out of homemade chemicals and blown the entire theater sky high. So I think it's inappropriate at best to use this incident as an argument for gun control. In fact, I find it terribly silly, almost.
Well, look, and this was a point I was trying to make. You're right, and it does go to the question. He could be intellectually bright, but I saw somebody that seemed, and maybe he was medicated, I don't know, but he seemed very disconnected from reality in many ways. I almost thought that he was lost in his head, somewhat mumbling to himself or having conversations with himself. Yesterday, I think my observations were right. I can't say for sure, but I'm giving you my initial impression. And somebody that obviously was not connected to reality, but that doesn't take away that they can be intellectually bright. There's no doubt about it. This guy thought this through, was meticulous. This was all premeditated. And, you know, one of my arguments is yours, which is that, you know, evil, the desire to bring harm to people, if there are no guns, you know, people will find other means if that is what they desire to do to hurt people. And if it's
and,
not.
And certainly in this case, I mean, you know, if you sure. want to argue that inner city, the amount and availability of guns might help. I mean, maybe, though.
What,
I think
what they, about the availability they, of gasoline? You could turn any car into a bomb.
You're absolutely right. And I guess we should ban fertilizer on top of that. I mean, in some of the cities, which I believe are the strongest gun control laws on record, I'd have to fact check this, but I think Chicago is one of them. They have some of the highest rates of murder and violence. I just think that particularly for this case, it's unique and it shows how inappropriate that argument can become, seeing that when you take a gentleman who clearly, you know, crazy for sure, but bright, absolutely. I don't think the public really understands he wasn't your typical. He's not even beyond the med. I mean, this is a MD, PhD. This is a very elite group of people that get these positions. So I just can't even imagine how quick everyone was to jump on this and use this as an art. And I don't even.
It was within.
Really it
was within.
I don't own a gun, but I found this to be inappropriate.
Well, I think you're looking at it just purely from an intellectual point of view and with the knowledge that if somebody has an evil intention, they're going to find a way to commit that evil and that atrocity. And that's my argument. You know, it's also predicated on a false argument that liberals somehow will obey the laws of the land. They're not going to. By their very nature, they won't. Thank you, Dr. Chad. Appreciate a good call. Ramon is in Tulsa in Oklahoma. KRMG AM and FM. What's up, Ramon? How are you? Welcome to the program. Apparently, you didn't like my George Zimmerman interview. What's the matter?
Oh man, it was just basically a shell of an interview, from my account. Okay, Sean. I know before you cut me off. Let's forget the fact that they told him they didn't need to chase him. Let's forget the fact that they told him not that he got out of his car.
They never told him not to get out of the car.
He got out of the car. They said, we do not need you to chase him. Do not need you to follow him.
We don't need you. We don't need. Are you following him? Yes. We don't need you to do that.
Don't need you to do that.
That's right.
Okay. Now.
Now, George Zimmerman says, by the way, this is important.
Can I finish my point?
George Zimmerman said that he was going back to his car.
At what point in time was Trayvon Martin supposed to stand his ground after being chased? At what point in time was he supposed to stand his ground?
He's saying that he was, that he stopped and that he didn't see him anymore and that he was going back to his car. And he says, and I wasn't there and you weren't there. He says,
so you
says,
you taking his word as the gospel.
Excuse me. No, I'm giving you what he said. And by the way, which he said that night and which he said the next day when he did the reenactment, he's been very consistent in saying that he was, all of a sudden, he turned around, Trayvon confronted him. Now, whether you want to believe him or not is your business. That's what he says, and that Trayvon then punched him, broke his nose in one shot, and got on top of him and started beating him and said he was going to kill him. That's what he said from the very beginning, and that's what he told me.
Okay, that's one side of the story. My deal is, at what point did Zimmerman say that I acknowledged to him that I was security? At what point did Dick Zimmerman say that who he was to Trayvon Martin? Once Trayvon, even if Trayvon Martin did approach him and ask him, did he have a problem?
Well, I have an
he
answer.
Right,
I have
because he was being followed.
Well, you say that, but here's the point. Does somebody have the right? If George is telling the truth, and the eyewitness did confirm that he saw Trayvon on top of Zimmerman beating him in the method that Zimmerman himself said. And you have another let me finish. And the other eyewitness that saw him right after it said he was beaten pretty badly. His injuries are consistent with taking a beating, a broken nose, lacerations in the back of the head, grass stains on his clothes. So, you know, there is some corroborating evidence here. I'm laying out the full picture.
Yeah. He said that he put his phone in his pocket, right?
That's what he said.
He started fumbling in his clothes to find his phone. If I'm somebody that's being followed, I'm taking that as an aggressive. I don't know what you're going to do. So I'm going to get the drop on you before you get the drop on me. Bottom line, Zimmerman should have never got out of his car. And you know that's the truth.
Okay. Stop for a second. The only problem is why would Trayvon, if you believe that, why did he start a fight? And if in that case, does it then become an issue of self-defense for Mr. Zimmerman? All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Don't forget, the debate continues tonight on Hannity. Probably the strongest voice for Mitt Romney, John Sununu, is on tonight. We have David Limbaugh is going to be debating Lanny Davis. Juan Williams debates Nigel Innes. And then we've got the latest on the hate speech against the right as a result of the Colorado shooting. 9 Eastern, Hannity, Fox News. Set your DVR. Back here tomorrow, 104 days to go.